unfolding right now. Bless their life, their marriage, their finances. Bless their health and cause them, Father, to rise up and be all that you want them to be. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, guys. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you didn't get a copy yet, we have these magazines available for you. It's called Unite. It's Unity Network Inspire, Teach, and Equip. And they are free for you on your way out. There's a great article in here. Page 4. Is it page 4? Page 4. Oh, wow. God will never disqualify you. He'll always celebrate you. Stop listening to your past and begin tuning into God's voice. Maybe I should preach that this morning. That sounds like a pretty good message. Anyway, we want you to get one of those. You know these big box stores? Have you seen them come up everywhere in your communities? You know, like the Walmart moves in or the Home Depot moves in. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what that does sometimes? It closes down the mom and pop shop. Because they can't compete. There's no way that they could compete. And in a small town in Ohio, that's exactly what happened to this barber shop. This guy cut hair in his barber shop in this little small town for years. All the guys came to get their hair cut there. But one of those big franchise barber shops moved in the town. And sure enough, little by little, took away all the business from this little barber shop. This guy had been there for years. And he didn't know what to do. He thought, man, I'm going to lose my business. I'm not going to have any income. So he called a business consultant in to decide what he could do. So the consultant looked at his finances, looked at his advertising, looked at his whole business plan, came back to him and began to disclose his findings. And the barbershop owner said, well, what should I do? What are we going to, what's our plan? He said, you know, let me think about it one more day. Came back the next day. He said, I got a great idea. Came into the back of his car, pulled out this huge banner because this franchise barbershop was offering haircuts for $3. And there was no way that he could ever, you know, compete with that. So he pulled out this huge banner and put it across his barbershop. And you know what it read? We fix $3 haircuts. Isn't that good? Sometimes you get what you pay for. You know, I'm about ready to go somewhere with that, but I think I'm going to hold back because I don't want to come across negative. But sometimes you do get what you pay for. And today God's got a word for us. I'm excited about it. T and I are excited about being here. I hope you are. I hope you meet somebody new. I hope you have the expectancy that God is about to show up in your life in a big way. I heard a testimony this morning that is absolutely incredible of what God did to turn things around. How the victim was used by God to bring victory to those that were causing the victimization. You know, God is able to do anything. And that's what King David learned in Psalm 31. So if you can put it up on the screen. Psalm 31 is a great verse. And I'm only going to talk to you for a few minutes today. But I want you to be encouraged. And can we read this verse together? This is out of the Message Bible. Now I want you to get this in your spirit, because there are a lot of people that will rise up against you. Circumstances will try to challenge your destiny and your future. And there will be those that won't believe in you. But you got to be like David, the king of Israel. He understood something. Are you ready? Let's read it. Be brave. Be strong. Don't give up. Expect God to get here soon. A David psalm. In other words, you expect God to get here soon. In the meanwhile, be brave, be strong, and don't give up. And if I could say anything to all of us today, I want to encourage you right where you are in the middle of your battle, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your finances, maybe it's a business decision, maybe you're waiting on other people to respond properly to you, be brave, be strong, don't give up. Maybe you're in the moment of your life where you feel like you are being resisted like you've never been before. The devil has pulled out all the stops. He's doing everything he can to destroy you, to kill you, and to steal from you. Well, don't get too surprised. That's what he does. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But here's the good news. Jesus has come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. Hallelujah for that. You know, I found out over the years that there are a lot of us who come into church or get to live daily in our life wounded. You know, we're the survivors. If you look around today, every person in here is a survivor. We've survived a lot of things, but if the devil can't kill you at birth, he's going to definitely try to wound you or impair you at birth. And some of us have been carrying those things all of our life into our adulthood. And every once in a while, we get re-wounded. That thing opens up again, and we're reminded of what we lost, or we're reminded of how people did us wrong, or we're reminded of the abuse that we suffered. But I've got good news for you today, that if you'll just be brave, if you'll be strong and you don't give up and you wait on God, He's here, coming here real soon. And you're about to experience a deliverance in your life that you never thought possible that's going to happen to you this morning. I've learned that there are two people in my life. There are people that I like to call basement people and balcony people. You know what basement people are like? They're the ones that like to live beneath the surface. They're the ones that are content to live beneath their potential. But I like being around balcony people because they're the people with the loudest shouts. They're the people that want to cheer you on. They're the people that believe in you. Sometimes all you need just to make the difference in your life is to find somebody that believes in you. You know, I can remember as a child growing up, I played basketball and I was on a pretty good team. Over the 3 years that I played for this team, we were undefeated. We had like 54 consecutive wins. We won championship after championship, game after game. Everybody knew that my coach's name was Dave Clark. And back then, you know, Dave Clark 5. You remember that? Some of you remember those. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But the Dave Clark 5 were us. We were the basketball players. And our coach brought us into these championships. But not one time did I look up in the balcony and see my mom there or my dad there. Not one time did I see any family members there or any of my friends cheering me on. But I can tell you that if they were there, what that would have done to me on the court. This morning I opened up my Yahoo page and they were showing the Olympics. And so many neat things are happening there. You know, people train for 4 years to compete on the world stage. And they were showing the swimming auditorium. And people were on the block. They're getting ready to compete. And the caption under the picture was, "Where are the spectators?" And it showed an empty gallery. No one was there to watch these world-class athletes compete for the gold and the silver and the bronze. Now, I know something about training. I know something about preparing. But it's something that you spend 4 years to do. You get to the block, you're ready to compete, and you look up in the balcony, and it's empty of anybody cheering you on. But I can tell you this, that if you're on the block and you trained, and you may not even be as good as your opponent, you may not be as competitive naturally or skilled as your opponent, but there's something happens into a person's life when you look up and everybody's on their feet cheering you on and believing in you and letting you know that you're a winner and that you're going to compete to win and we are going to be excited about your victory. Suddenly now you get an edge that you didn't have prior to that. See, I've got to find people in my life that are balcony people. I've got to tell you, I have been around basement dwelling people and most of them have bad attitudes. Most of them don't believe in you. They don't believe in themselves. They don't believe in nothing. All they want to do is complain and all they want to do is grumble. But I've learned something, that my mouth was not given to me to grumble and complain. But my mouth was given to me to rule and to reign. And so if you can't find anybody else in this church this morning that'll say, "I believe in you," look up here right now. Put your cell phones away. Close that novel that you're reading just to pass the time and focus. You ready? I believe in you. Now look at somebody and tell them the same thing. I believe in you. Now you got to tell people in your life, be brave, be strong, don't give up. Expect God to get here soon. Sometime when you're in the battle, all you need is somebody who believes in you. All you need is somebody who can encourage you, pat you on the back, and say, "You're going to make it." And when you get that, that brings you through. How many know what I'm talking about? Absolutely. That's exactly what I know all of us need. There's a great story in the Bible. I'm going to take a few minutes to tell you about it. I've always appreciated the story of Joseph. Joseph was my first sermon I ever preached. Joseph the dreamer. As a matter of fact, when I was a candidate to become the pastor of this church, wow, that was a long time ago. At that time, it was Christian Assembly of God. Now it's called Church on the North Coast. We're no longer affiliated with the Assembly of God, but I was a candidate. And so I stood up on the platform. There were about maybe 100 people there at the most. And I preached the message on Joseph the dreamer. And I said, I really feel God's called me to be a dreamer, to see the big plans of God. Now that story has a warm place in my heart. But I found something out about dreamers. Most people around you aren't appreciating your dreams. A lot of people won't believe in you. As a matter of fact, some people will even get mad at you for telling them that you're going to be successful, you're going to be a winner, that you believe God wants them to be prospered or wants them to have health. You know, it's an amazing thing to me about church people. You can get around some church people and let them know that God wants them to prosper, and they get mad at you. They want you to be poor, broke. They want you to be disgusted. Then you say, well, I believe God wants to heal me and walk in divine health and the favor of God. And then they get mad at you again. How dare you say that passed away with the apostles? God doesn't want to heal you. God wants to kill you. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What kind of church do you go to where God wants to kill you? Well, that was the story of Joseph. He wore a coat of many colors, and his dad, you know, commissioned him to go and check out the brothers in the field. And so off he went to see how they were doing and bring them a little bit of gift and get a report and go back to dad and tell him how things were going with the sheep. And all of a sudden, the brothers saw him coming and said, there's Joseph, that dreamer. There's that guy that believes God can do anything. There's that guy over there that believes that God wants you to prosper and have a happy life, and God wants to have you joy, and God wants you to have your destiny fulfilled. But we don't like that. We want him to live in the basement just like us. You know, it's funny about basement people. They don't like balcony people. Do you ever notice that? When you get around basement people, if you move in with the basement with them, they're happy and they like you. But if you stay in the balcony and talk to them while they're in the basement, they want to know, who do you think you are? Are you better than anybody else? Come on down out of that balcony. Well, I've got to tell you, I'm not coming down. Come on. You and I have got to get in a position in our heart and we're going to wear our coat of many colors. Because we walk into covenant with God. And we don't have to apologize for the covenant that we walk in. You've got to get that in your spirit this morning. You've got to be determined that I'm not going to let anybody talk me out of the blessings of God that are on my life. I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to talk in them. I'm going to believe them. And I'm going to experience them. Because I want to prove to this world that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So say it with me one more time. Psalm 31. You ready? Be brave. Be strong. Don't give up. Expect God to get here soon. Listen, I understand that there are times in our life where we have problems. We have troubles. We have trials. Joseph ran into some trouble because they came up with a plan. Reuben, the oldest brother, decided that they would, well, actually, they decided they were going to kill him. And Reuben said, let's not kill the boy. Let's just put him in a pit. Genesis 37, look at verse 22. Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. You see, this pit was specifically designed to contain Joseph. This pit was specifically dug and created to keep the dreams contained that were in Joseph's life. Because everyone around him were angry and were agitated over the fact that Joseph thought he was going to be something that everybody else wasn't. They became angry with him, so they put him in a pit to contain his dreams. Look, I want to get you out of that pit this morning, and I want to give you permission to dream again and to dream big and to believe that if God is for you, who can be against you? But you see, Reuben decided that he was going to put him in this pit. And you may have come this morning in a pit. You may have slept there in a pit. You may have been living in a pit. You may be going to work in a pit. You may be in a marriage that's in a pit. Your finances may be in a pit. Your health may be in a pit. But let me tell you something about pits. What the devil meant for evil, God will always turn around for good. How do I know that? Because the David Psalm said, be brave. He said, be strong. He said, take courage, because God is about to show up in your situation. You know, sometimes people push you in pits. I've had people in my life that have pushed me into pits. Sometimes I've fallen into them. But I'm going to be real transparent with you this morning. There are times I've jumped in my own pit. I've made wrong choices. I've made wrong decisions. I walked in fear and not faith. I walked by sight. I allowed people's opinions to change my course, to alter my destiny. And so I ended up jumping in the pit myself. But it doesn't matter whether you got pushed in, whether you fell in, or whether you jumped in yourself. That's all irrelevant. The facts are that if you showed up this morning and you're in any kind of a pit, there's still hope. Because the Bible says that God is about to show up in a circumstance that can never contain the dreams that come from heaven. No matter what those do around you, they can't prevent you from accomplishing and achieving everything God has put in your heart. The promises of God are yea and amen to those that believe. And I got a feeling I'm around some believers this morning and not a bunch of doubters. Do I have any believers in here? Amen. All right. I just want to make sure I came to the right church. I want to make sure I came to the right church, because I don't want to go to a church where there's a bunch of doubters. I want to go to a church where there's a bunch of believers. So people have seen you in a pit, and you know, they defined you by the pit. Reuben put him in there, and now his brothers are defining him by his position in the pit. They're watching him struggle in the pit to get out. You know, there are some people in our lives that will watch us struggle and never lend a hand to help us. As a matter of fact, they'll use you as the topic at their next coffee meeting with their friends to say, oh, I was over so-and-so's house and they're in a pit. And oh my, I was watching them struggle. Their marriage is in trouble. But they never lend a hand to get you up out of the pit. They try to define you as a person who has been contained, who has lost, who's in trouble, who's in a mess, who can't get out of their own doing, that they jumped in themselves and they deserve what they got. Church, I don't know about you, but I've got to find some balcony people to help me this morning, because I cannot allow basement dwellers to define my future. There is no way I'm going to allow that to happen. See, you may have woke up this morning and find yourself in that predicament, but I found a scripture in the Bible. I'm so glad God put it in there. It's Psalm 30 and verse 5. I don't know if you've read it before, but you can put it up on the screen. It's a great scripture because it talks about the faithfulness of God. You know, last night I watched the sun set. This morning I was up early and I watched it rise. And as it broke through the horizon, I said, God, while I slept at night, you were working on a brand new day for me. Now that I'm awake and I'm looking at it, I'm watching it unfold right before me. And I just felt the faithfulness of God. And here's what the scripture says. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping, come on, read it with me. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. No matter where you are this morning, and no matter how deep the difficulty, God's got a plan. Because Reuben might have put you in the pit, but Reuben is not going to be the one to take you out of the pit. I learned this lesson long ago when I read the story of Malchus. Do you remember the story of Malchus? He was the servant of the high priest. And the Bible says that Peter cut off his right ear. That earpiece fell to the ground. Jesus picked it up, healed Malchus. And the Holy Spirit taught me something. He said, the people that hurt you are not the people that will heal you. Peter had no power to bring healing to Malchus's life, but Jesus was present. And what others meant for evil, God will turn around and bring healing, wholeness, and restoration to our life. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. So the Bible says in Genesis 37 and verse 29, Reuben returned to the pit. Isn't this interesting? People will throw you in a pit, then they'll come back to see if you're still in it. People will come back to see if you're still there. Now you're looking at me, but you're not helping me. You're talking to me, but you're not helping me. You're talking about me, but you're not helping me. Come on. Reuben went back to the pit, and indeed, Joseph was not in the pit. He thought, oh my goodness, how in the world did Joseph get out of what I was responsible to put him in? Let me tell you something. Can I encourage you this morning? Stop waiting on the people that hurt you to heal you, or the people that put you in the pit to bring you out. God's got a bigger plan, and God can bring you out of what the devil will put you in. You just have to be brave. You just have to be strong. You just have to be courageous. And you have to expect God that He is about to show up. See, this pit was ordinary until Joseph got in it. I want to encourage you this morning, because we're not ordinary people. I want you to look at me. You all look peculiar this morning. Why? Because that's what the Bible says about us. We are extraordinary. So when you put an extraordinary person in an ordinary pit, we don't mix. You may have put me in there, but I wasn't built for the pit. I wasn't designed for the pit. And I'm not going to stay in the pit. You say, well, I didn't put you in there. You jumped in. You put yourself in the pit. That's all right. I might have jumped in. I might have fallen in. I might have got pushed in. All I know is I walk in a covenant. And I'm extraordinary. I am supernatural. Meaning this pit can't hold me long. Something's got to change. You know, some people go to the doctor and get a bad report, and they go home and get ready to die. Some people get their bank statement and think, well, it's all over. Some people hear about the situation in business and go, oh, well, I guess we're losing everything. Then there's those extraordinary people that all of a sudden get the bad news and go get some good news. They hear the negative report and they go find what God has said about that negative report. And they think, look, this may be ordinary and would bring an ordinary man down. But God didn't make me ordinary. I'm extraordinary. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I am delivered. I am prosperous. I am whole. I am joy-filled. And all I know is that I am in this pit temporarily. You may come back to look for me in this place, but you better come back quick, because I'm not about to stay where you found me. Look, God is not going to leave you where He found you. And God is not coming back for less of a church than He died for. We are being transformed from glory to glory. You and I are going from one level of blessing to the next level of blessing. And if you'll just begin to reach out in faith to God's plan, you're going to see your life change supernatural. Look at somebody and say, you are extraordinary. Now, why did I get you to say that? Because you have heard long enough you're ordinary. You've heard long enough that you can't. You've heard from so many people that they've defined you by the pit of your own making, or how you fell into it, how fate did this to you, or how others created that for you. Listen, that is not who you are. Genesis 37 and 17 says the pit was in a particular place. Now I want you to notice this verse. This is very vital, very important to the whole teaching this morning. The man said, they departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now notice, Joseph found his brothers in a particular place. Now, Dothan is interesting because if you understand its definition, it means two wells and two feasts. Now, why is that important? Because Joseph found his brothers in the place of double blessing. Joseph found his brothers in the place of covenant and the promises of God. Now, I want you to understand, too, there's another story in the Bible in 2 Kings 6 when Ahab is trying to find the prophet and destroy him. And the little servant is with the prophet. They wake up in the morning and they see the entire city surrounded by the enemy's army. And the little prophet says, a little servant says to the prophet, "We're in big trouble. Do you see all that army? Do you see that they've surrounded us?" And the prophet said, "Well, that'd be true if we weren't in Dothan." You see, they also were in Dothan. Two feasts, two wells. In other words, God is a God of justice. He is a God that'll give you double for your trouble. You and I can expect the blessings of God. See, every time I'm mistreated, every time an injustice has been served to me, because I walk in Dothan, because I walk in covenant, I know that God will turn the injustice into justice. In other words, God's going to bless me because He is the one that will take revenge. I don't have to go back on my brothers. I don't have to get angry with them. I don't even have to get mad at you for what you did to me to put me in this containment or to bring me into this place called the pit of my life. Because I understand you don't control my destiny. You have nothing to do with my future. God has a plan for me. And if He chose this route for me to walk through that I might be a blessing to you, how many know that at the end of the story, Joseph said, "It was God's plan that you tried to kill me. It was God's plan that He sold me off to slavery. It was God's plan that I got in the prison." Why? Because from the pit, I had to stop off at the prison before I got to the palace. I don't know where you are this morning, but you're not at your final destination until you get in the place of the palace where you rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was sitting there this morning, I'd give Jesus a hand clap right there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Dothan means two feasts and two wells. And just like that, in a snap of a finger, Joseph one day was in a pit. And just like that, he's out of a pit. You know, if God was so good to him, He even organized a limousine service to come pick him up. Got him up out of the pit, and just so happened at that time, a caravan was passing by. God sent a limousine service and said, "Put Joseph on the limousine service and carry him into his destiny." There's nothing by chance. God's got His future planned out for our lives. And what you think is evil or wrong, God is working on our behalf. Now look, I want to tell you something from personal experience. Tina and I know, we've learned finally after all these years, that sometimes what we go through isn't about us. We realize that sometimes we're in a pit, or we're in trouble, or we experience loss, only or delay, only because God is aligning other things up, because somebody has to get the voice of God into their heart while we're in our trouble. And while we're in our trouble, they need to get the calling of God clarified. I'll give you a quick example. We had a situation not long ago where we thought we had a good little investment made and it was going to work out real well. Well, it didn't work out very well. Actually, it fell through. And the money we put into it seemed like a loss. But the whole time, we kept speaking faith. We said, "Lord, we know that You've got our times in Your hand. We might be in the pit of this situation, but I hear a limousine roaring its engine. Lord, I know that there's a palace for me someplace." And I wouldn't speak evil of that person. I kept blessing them. "Lord, I know that I wanted to. I want to tell You, I was on the phone with them, and inside, I wanted to use Christian cuss words. I don't know... I wanted to tell them what they needed to hear. But I don't know what Christian cuss words are, but I was about to use them. But I said, no, I'm going to bless him and curse not, because that's what I'm called to. And I know I live in Dothan, and I've got double coming to me. So what they meant for evil, God's going to turn for good. So I kept speaking right to them. I'd hang up and go, I can't believe I spoke to him like that. I should have told him what he was. I'd send an email, and I'd say, well, the Lord bless you and prosper you, and we're praying for you. Hope that you're feeling better. Hope this is working well. I'd send it, close my computer, and go, I can't believe I did that. Tina, I didn't. And then sometimes I got proud of myself. I said, sweetie, I didn't use any Christian cuss words. I blessed him. Aren't you proud of me? But this went on for almost a whole year. In the middle of all that, we found out a young man who just left a couple of weeks ago got involved in our situation to try to help us out. While he was there working on our situation, God called him to start a church. He told us just last week, I just wanted you to know, had I never been involved in that circumstance with the trouble you guys were in, we would have never got the call of God to come here and start a church. I looked at Tina, and Tina looked at me, and I said, that's what the pit was all about. It wasn't our pit. It was God's process, that he was bringing people into their purpose and into their destiny. How many this morning can remain brave, strong, and courageous, even in the middle when it looks like it's falling apart, to know that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and he's going to turn this situation around. Sometimes it's not about me. Sometimes it's about you. Sometimes it's about somebody I haven't even met yet. But I know this, God's for me, who could be against me? I feel the power of God in my life. So just like that, he turned it around. Now, Reuben may have put him in that pit, but the Bible tells us it wasn't Reuben that got him out. You know, it's interesting how people will come and visit you in your pit, but they'll never lend a hand to get you up out of the pit. People will talk about your problem, but they'll never help bring a solution to your problem. But this time, another one of the brothers came into the circumstance. His name was Judah. The scripture says that Judah is the one that brought him out. Now, I'm going to have to tell you sometime, when you're in the middle of a pit, your praise may not be too pretty. Sometime you're down in the pit and it's dark and it's cold and you're lonely. You're caked with mud and your hair is matted. Your clothes are tattered and there's nobody there. Sometime you just have to lift up your own praise, because Judah, praise will always bring you out of the pit you either fell in, got pushed in, or somehow you jumped in. Church, let me tell you something. You and I have got to have confidence and reliance on the Lion of Judah. That was Paul and Silas. They were in the middle of a prison. They began to praise God, right, with the stocks and the chains all about them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, and they got a major deliverance. Your praise may not be pretty, but oh, does he love to hear it. You know, my singing is not that great, but I sometimes have to get my praise on all by myself. And I think, what a mighty God I serve. And I'm flinging and my hands are going everywhere. Angels bow before him. Heaven up adore him. Yeah, I can remember when I first started preaching. I'd work up a little lather like a boxer did before he went into the ring. I did. I'd be back in my office. I'd say, God be for you. Who can be against you? Oh, look at this. Who can be against you? Who can be against you? God. I did. I swear. When I started feeling the perspiration starting to come, you know, and I was feeling loose, I said, all right, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go preach. I'm ready to go preach. Sometimes I had to praise my way out of my fear, praise my way out of my intimidation, praise my way out of my feelings, praise my way out of the natural, and say, God, I'm going to praise you until I feel something. Sometimes when you're in a pit, nobody else would ever come to hear you sing. You're not CC whining. You're not Misty Edwards. Nobody wants to hear you belt out a tune. But let me tell you, the Lion of Judah will break every chain and give to us the victory. You don't know that song. Nobody, does anybody know that song? Okay, y'all come choir. No, I'm just kidding. You don't even know what that is, do you? Old church, they say, y'all come choir. Anybody knew that song would come up here and they'd be the choir for the day. That's old church. Now we got light shows and fog and screaming guitars, skinny jeans. It's all relative, man. It's all right. It's all cool. I don't mind it. I like the evolution of the new generation. But it still need the Lion of Judah. Amen. I'm telling you, whether you got fog or lights, or you just got the old rugged cross, you got to have the Lion of Judah. Because ain't nobody going to pull you out of the pit except Jesus. And if you'll just begin to praise Him and thank Him for what you know He will do, what He can do, what He said He will do, it'll only be a matter of time and He will lift you out of where you've been into the glorious destiny that God had planned for you from the very foundation of the world. That's another good place to give God some praise. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're a good God all the time. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's amazing. Jeremiah, he was in a pit. Chapter 38, verse 10 to 13, he was just being persecuted, you know, for righteousness. Persecuted for speaking the word of God. And just before his death, or just before he almost died, the Bible says that the king commanded him to go get Jeremiah up out of the pit. This is verse 10, Jeremiah 38. He said, I want you to get him out of there before he dies. He must have been so close to death that the king had mercy. He said, man, this guy's about to breathe his last. At least let him get out of that pit so he can die in peace. Sometimes in our situation, we're so close to death that we feel like we're never going to make it. You know, you've heard that little adage that we often say, God may be late, or God may be, but He's always on time. Something like that. See, how's that go? I don't remember. But anyway, God always comes the last minute. Think about it with me. Here he is about to die, and God comes to deliver him. But look how he delivered him. I mean, if you're going to be delivered by God, I'd like to have some pomp and circumstances with my deliverance. But notice what happened. They took old ropes, old clothes, old rags, and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Old ropes, old rags, and let them down to the dungeon where Jeremiah was. You know, if Jeremiah would have had an ounce of pride in his life, he would have said, look, I am not about to embrace those old rags, those dirty, disgusting rags, to bring me to deliverance. Some translations actually say rotten and deteriorating. Some translations say used for medicinal purposes and had been discarded. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a pit, I'm not going to be choosy. And here was the admonition. He said, put the ropes around you, up under your arms, and we'll pull you up. Here's the analogy. You might be here this morning in a pit. You may be here this morning feeling discarded, abandoned, deserted. And here's the Holy Spirit throwing you down some old rags. The analogy is Jesus Christ. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The stripes that he carried upon his back were for your healing and for my healing. Do you know the scripture tells us that he was beaten unrecognizable? His face was so swollen. The Bible also tells us that there was no comeliness about him. In other words, he wasn't a very attractive man. All we know is that he was rejected and despised, spat upon, beard pulled out, slapped around, humiliated on the cross. Here's you and me in a pit, and down comes dirty rags. The sin of the world had been laid upon him. Your sin, my sin. my disobedience, your rebellion, all laid upon him that we might have freedom. But you see, there comes a choice and a decision we're going to have to make. Am I too prideful to embrace that kind of deliverance? Why, I think God should do something a little more regal. I think God should do something a little more grandiose for me. Friends, when Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, he died on Calvary to bring us up out of every pit that the devil will ever put us in. And not only will he bring you out, but he wants to bless you. He wants to give you double for your trouble. So if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, my friend, take hold of the rope of hope. It's being lowered down to you today, no matter where you are. Don't allow your past situation or your current situation to define you. Some people like to say, I'll always be an alcoholic, or I have been and am an adulterer, or I am a murderer, or I am a thief. Let me tell you something. That may have been your pit experience, but when you are delivered out of that pit, you are also delivered out of every defining moment that that pit tried to bring into your life. Stop allowing people to tell you what you were and start embracing the King in what he declares over you. I've been really concentrating, T and I, this week, and we've been really focusing on capturing every thought in our minds. It's real easy to allow thoughts to come in that are discouraging, or thoughts to come in that say you're not accepted, or that you're not good enough, or you'll never make it. And sometimes when you begin to dwell on those thoughts, it literally changes your entire physical being. Your shoulders start to slump. You start to drag your feet. Suddenly you feel depression moving in on you. Did you know all that came because you embraced a thought that is a lie from the pit? I love the scripture that says he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. You see, there was a slimy pit in my past. And every time the devil likes to remind me of my past, I have to declare to him, not his future, I have to declare to him my future. Because we used to teach that, didn't we? Every time the devil reminds you of your past, you point forward and remind him of his future. I said, forget that. He already knows where he's going. I got to remind myself where I'm going. Because I am, put my declaration up again. I want you to catch this again. Because I am all that and more. And I've been telling Tina all week, I said, you're the most beautiful person I have ever met. You are the most gifted and talented person. I admire you and what you do. You have decorated our home beautifully. You are the perfect wife. You make me so happy. I just want to kiss you. I think I will. So you see, I am strong in the Lord. I am talented. I am forgiven. I'm creative. I'm anointed. Now you can flip it. I'm equipped. I'm empowered. I'm prosperous. I'm disciplined. I'm free. I walk in divine health. I have the favor of God. I am blessed. See, the devil can try to re-pit me by putting me in a prison, but it's only a matter of time before he promotes me. And you know the beauty of all of this? Joseph said all this was for the posterity of Israel. I was sold into bondage. I was falsely accused. I was put in this pit that I might save your life. Now let me close with this beautiful story of Christine. She came up to me in tears during the worship in the earlier service. She said, I just need 5 minutes. I've got to tell the congregation what happened. I said, well, tell me, what is it? She proceeded to tell me. I said, let's follow the Holy Spirit. Sure enough, her message or her testimony was my message. Yesterday, she drove to Columbus, Ohio, where she was able to confront her father, who had sexually abused her most of her childhood. He had been convicted. He had served time. He was now in the hospital dying of cancer. And she heard the voice of God say, go to him and forgive him. She said, I've already forgiven him, Lord. He said, I know that, but he needs to forgive himself. So she tells the story how she went into the hospital room, told him how she forgives him for everything he'd done. In his frailty, he responded back and said, I have prayed for years that I would have the opportunity to ask you to forgive me. Can you forgive me? Dad, I forgive you. Not only that, but she led him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right there in that bed. Isn't that incredible? She said, I got a chance to pray with my dad. He accepted Christ as his Savior. Then she said, the victim became the victor. And the victimizer became the conqueror. And the victim took the victimizer into victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, when you preach that message this morning about the rope of hope, she said, Pastor, please tell the people that it's real, it's true. I am so thankful I had this opportunity. My dad can rest in peace. I can rest in peace. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has given us victory and restitution. And now we can live out his days and I can live out my days in total union and peace. So if you'd bow your hearts with me this morning, I want to ask the question. Maybe you came here this morning in a pit. Regardless of how you got there, I don't want you to begin to feel judged. I think it's time we stop judging other people. I think it's time we start dwelling in the balconies and rooting people on and letting them know we believe in them. Maybe Reuben has come back to your pit over and over again just to make sure you're still there. But Judah, if you can call on the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, no matter what time, no matter how far gone, be brave, be strong, be courageous. God is about to show up on your praise. Say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I need God to lift me out of this despair, lift me out of this trouble I've been in. I really need help. Then we want to pray for you. I'm going to keep our head bowed for a minute. While we do that, nobody moving around, if you'd be so kind to give us a couple of minutes. I'd like to ask our prayer partners to stand along the front of this auditorium, this altar area, and just face the congregation, prayer partners. Would you do that now? Because I believe that there are people in this room that need encouraged. There are people in this room that need to know that somebody believes in them, that somebody will hold a helping hand to reach down and pull them up and pull them out. And we want to do that for you. So if that's you today, you say, hey, Pastor, I need that prayer. Would you just kindly lift your hand high enough that I could see it and then put it back down? Thank you. Thank you over there and over there. Anybody else? Just lift it up. Say, I need that prayer. Thanks. Over there. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. A number of hands have gone up. If you haven't already done it, just do it to sign, signifying your need. Yeah, thanks, honey. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, I need that prayer, man. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Last time I have to call. Say, I need that prayer, Pastor. Amen, sis. Thanks. Thanks for responding. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when you do, those of you that want that prayer, yeah, look, we're not asking you to join our church. We're not asking you to sign a commitment. All we're wanting to do is pray with you. And we want you to come and pray with one of these blessed people up here. They're loving, kind. They're going to judge you. They're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe God with you. We're going to lend you a helping hand to you to get you out of that place of despair. So if that's you today, and we're going to get ready to stand, I want you to move out and come for prayer. Would you do that right now? Everybody stand, please. You need that prayer. I want you to come right now. Let us join with you. Come on. Anybody else, please, feel free. I just want to pray with you, encourage you.
Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King.
Need prayer? Some of the guys, can you come up and pray?
Seated in
prayer partners, guys. Okay.
You are the risen King.
Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Come on, sing it. Hallelujah. A hand out to these in the front. Come on, do it. Father, we bless them. We thank you that you are lifting them, that you are the glory and the lifter of our head. Father, meet the need right where they are right now. Holy Spirit, minister to them. Bring great peace into their life. And let them never, never, never be the same as they walk in their purpose and destiny. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. While they're praying, I want to invite you to two things. Next Sunday, August 5th, there will be a luncheon, a salad luncheon following the service for all the Alpha participants. And if you don't know what Alpha is, it is a 10-week course introducing unsaved family, friends, co-workers, neighbors into the kingdom of God. That'll be on the 11th of September. It begins Tuesday night right here. We want you to be a part of that next Sunday, and where that be held is in the kids' room. So that'll be right after the service. All of our workers, all of those that want to bring or invite somebody or know more about Alpha, we want you to be a part of it. Also, on your way out, we have some information about the course. Maybe you're visiting with us. You really have never given your life to Christ. You want to know more about the Bible, more about the kingdom of God. This course is designed just for you. So our ushers will have these, and you could pick one up today. And then finally, can I ask you to do something? Would you pray about helping us with these increased construction costs? They told us we need a sprinkler system, which was not in the original budget. That was another $30,000. Then, while I was away, I got a call, and they said we have to put in a riser. I'm not even sure what that is. That's what choirs sing on. But to them, it's the feed for all the sprinkler system that's not in the building. That's an additional $12,000. And I'm just asking if the Holy Spirit will speak to you. We need some people that will step up and say, I'll sow significantly into those costs. I ordered the work done by faith, and I'm believing that God will meet all the need. You pray about it as well. I'm not going to take a special offering this morning, but if you feel so led, the ushers will receive it on the way out, or you can bring it in next week. Okay? I'm going to be here Wednesday night ministering the Word of God at 7 o'clock on Acts chapter 11. You're going to see a prophetic insight on how that is relevant to where we are today. It's going to be very exciting. I hope you'll join us at 7 p.m. Our praise in the park, I heard, was fantastic. So thank you, Pastor Tossing. Oh, that was good. Yeah. I'll take the book. And if you're visiting with us, we have Joel's hardbound book, Every Day of Friday. And we'd love for you to pick up your copy. If you're wanting to get that book, you'll meet with us there. Betty's right there in that little room. T and I will meet you, shake your hand, and get to know you just for a moment and introduce ourselves to you. But thank you so much for being here today. Rick, it was great to see you this morning. Tell Kathy I said hi. It's great to meet them yesterday. And we had a tremendous time at the Crakers there yesterday. What a party. You guys know how to throw a party, I'll tell you. So live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Be friendly with someone. Let them know that God be for you. Who could be against you? See you Wednesday night, church. Have a great afternoon.